Volume to the 18th in this series of lectures, Shi'urim, on the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud, the Chasimas HaShas. Last shi'ur, I left everybody with a rather profound and central question. When was the Gemara written down? And what was the heter to write it down? The sugyas, let's recap the question. The sugyas in the Bavli, whether it be in Temura, whether it be in Gittin, only seem to give actually a heter for, you know, specific halachas, iglesa, sefer agadatim. We don't see a heter to write down the entire shas. Number two, I mean, the earliest manuscripts we have of shas are really from the 11th century. In fact, actually, we have manuscripts of works of Goyim, Shuvas had Goyim, the Alachas Pesukos of Yudai Goyim, the Shields of Achai, the Alachas Gedolos, and some of these manuscripts were asked before. We have manuscripts of the entire Shas. So the question is, what was B'chlal the Heter to write it down, and when did it take place? We have no idea when it took place. Now, the opinion of quite a number of scholars is that it probably took place around somewhere the 8th century. 8th century, 9th century. This appears to be the opinion of the Smug, but more so, we have this from evidence of the Tshuvas of the Goyim. So for example, there's a much quoted Tshuva of Rav Natunai Goyim, and Professor Zussman, right, quotes him as saying that already in the 9th century it says Talmud Motzoi Etzel Kol Adam, which means that already by the 9th century it must have been that everybody had a, they didn't have a Shabbos in Shas, but they had a Gemara. So it seems to have been a common thing that people actually had a manuscript of the Shas. So we see that in other words, the people started writing down the Gemara, and it became much more common already in the 8th and 9th century. And because of that, there were different theories. Professor Zussman brings several theories, maybe because of the 8th century, there was the Islamic conquest, and because of this, there was a possibility of Shemad, etc., etc. But all these are theories. Now, the fact is that I disagree with all of these rayas, these proofs. I can explain to you, actually, there are several proofs that are brought. Those of you who are interested in a survey of these, I refer to the volume Mechrei Talmud of the Hebrew University. Tavshin Samachay, and an article from Professor Zussman on Torah Shebi'al Peh Peshuta Kamashmah, and there he brings this Tshuva Rav Natunai Goyim, which seems to indicate that the Talmud is Motzoi, that people have Talmud. So certainly by the 9th century, if Natunai Goyim is the 9th century already, then it seems to be that already is pretty common. However, with due respect to Professor Zussman, I think that actually the reading of Rav Natunai Goyim, at least, can be called into question. The tshuva is very, very small. It's only two lines, so I can actually read it. It appears in the Tshuvas Rav Natunai Goyim. I actually have referred to this several times in the last lectures, published by Rachmiel Broidy, Machon Ofek, Sefriat Friedberg, Yerushalayim Tavshin Nun Dalet. And there, Rav Natunai Goyim is asked, this is actually Simon Shin Pei Hei. And in the Gemara in Shabbos at Daf Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara there mentions what's called the Megillah Storim, that the Amoraim has something called the Megillah Storim, a type of a manuscript. So I guess after Tanai Goyim is asked the question, what was this Megillah Storim? So he says, Megillah Sheyesh by Halachas Psukais. It's a Megillah that has a scroll that has Halachas Psukais, like a, you'd call like a Kitzah Sefer, right? Ke'ein Sefer Halachas, it's a type of a Sefer Halachas. She'einu ke'talmud, she'motzoi etzel kol adam. do you read that sentence? She'enu k'talmud shematzi etzukolada. So I see that Professor Brody puts a comma. Then he says she'enu k'talmud shematzi kol adam. Comma means it's not like the Talmud that's found in everybody's hand. And Professor Zussman, the foolish Professor Zussman, page 321, the Mechelei Talmud, quotes Talmud Motzi Etzel Kol Adam. That's how he quotes it. However, I'm not so sure that's true. Now, Lulei Mistafina, I would have said, read like this, Megillah Sheish Ba'alach Bazookas Kein Seif Alachais, She'enu K'Talmud. It's not like the Talmud. Shematzi Etzel Kol Adam.
That's Storm.
What?
Why isn't Gilas Sarim?
This is different, but Storm, but no, it's clear because Storm was Halachas Pesukais.
This is something that everyone has.
No, that doesn't mean anything. But he's speaking about what he had. All he's saying is, no, because the Talmud Chazal, they didn't write anything at all. But I'm saying is, why does it mean She'enu K'Talmud Shematzi Etzel Kol Adam? Does it mean the Talmud is Matzi Kol Adam? Or it means it's not like the Talmud? How is it not like the Talmud? It's Matzi because it's Kol Adam. Because the fact is that even though we have fragments of different parts of things, we don't have any Talmud from that time.
But you see that he's still saying that there was a Talmud.
No, the Talmud is not Matzoi.
See, but it's in print. That doesn't mean...
No, everybody, no. They look at Talmud. No, could it be a few people wrote down a Talmud for themselves, like the Rambam says.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying is, professors would want to say that everybody's walking around with a Talmud. It was Tafutz. It was very popular. I don't think there's a raya from this tshuva where the Torah is going. And therefore it's called, right, Megillas Torah. In any case, I don't see anywhere here any raya that there was a Gemara that was available publicly that people could look at the Gemara. Rather, even if a Gemara was written, I mean, we never know, it was the private property, probably like the Goyim, of the Torah, it's a private Gemara. In any case, the point is that we still don't have any inkling, any raya, any proof. When could the Talmud have been written? Now, the fact is like this. We have to rephrase the question. Why? I mean, Professor Zussman wants to say, for example, that there was a transition from, let's say, an oral culture to a written culture. So it could have been a gradual transition, people were writing a little bit at a time. There might not have been any one point, right, that, in other words, that the Gemara became popular, it just became slowly popular. One could always say it like this. But the fact is that the issue is not so much how many Talmuds were written and available, but when was the transition from what we would say an oral to a written culture? Now like this. The fact is that the break between what I would call orality and what I would call textuality, in my opinion, is really the break between the Goyim and the Rishonim. It's clear. The Goyim write tshuvas, a few lines, tell you what the answer is, and they might quote a Gemara. The Rishonim have a text in front of them, and the Rishonim wrote Perushim on the Gemara. The Goyim basically wrote tshuvas. Even though Beru Gershon is really more Rishon, we don't see that the Goyim, in fact, treated the Talmud as a text. You know, the Goyim treated the Talmud as much as the Rishonim did. In fact, actually, that's the Russian Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Gimel, who sides with the Baal HaBaor, then one can actually argue on the Goyim, if one can bring Rayas from the Shas. And why is that true? Because the Shas, in other words, we see that the Shas represents a text, and that, for the Rishonim, the Shas represents a text. The Goyim don't represent the authoritative text. Now, the fact is, when did this happen? In other words, it seems to me that the transition from oral to textual is probably in some ways parallel to the transition from what's called Gaonika to the Rishonim. Because the Rishonim really are really operating out from the text. The Rishonim are not really interested so much in the Seira, as we'll see in a little while, as they are in really what is the text saying. Now, what I want to do is, I want to present a theory from this undisclosed place in Yerushalayim of when I think actually this break took place, And this will actually, in my opinion, be coincidental with actually, if not the first writing of the Talmud, the emergence of the Talmud as a text. Now, first of all, it's very, very interesting that at the very end of Rosh Hashanah, there's an interesting machlokes between the Ga'onim and the Rishonim. We all know that in Rosh Hashanah, Tfilas Musaf, we daven, we say there are 9 brachas. Shlich Tzibah says 9 brachas, we say 9 brachas. You know, Machter, Richard, Oscar, Machzor, Mitzvah, Machzor, it says 9 brachas. However, there was clearly a minig of the Ga'onim to say silently, in other words, the individual repetition, the lachash, was 7 brachas, and only the shlim tzibah would say 9 brachas. And this actually minig is actually a tshuva of none other than Rav Natrunai Goin, who says explicitly that in Kuf Pei Aleph, the same edition from Yachmiel Voidi, Simon Kuf Pei Aleph, Nai Betalti Mesifta, the minig of the Talti Mesifta, Barash Hashanah, Litzluye Shliach Tzibor Teisha, the Shliach Tzibor, it says 9 brachas, Vitzibor Sheva, the Tzibor, the people say 7 brachas. V'yachin mispalu b'beisei teisha. So therefore, says very clearly, right? And in fact, actually, this is a machlekes here in the Rosh and Rosh Hashanah, right? That uvashkin v'tzav was
nigel. Where is this?
In the Rosh, it's at the very, very end, of the last Rosh, it's, which halach in the Rosh, I think it's Yud Gimel, but there's a humongous Yud Gimel in the Rosh. What?
Chapter 4,
right, yeah. Okay, and it says that Ashkaz Utsofas, right, the cause of which Geus, Shinagul Bishtei Yeshivas, over Kulo Bovel, Shibispalin Tziborak Sheva Brochas, Vishlir Tzira Yev the Oimetesha. That's what Baron's Gale says. Vivit Shuvas Haben Rishon Rav Abraham Rav Natrunai, Shomu Mi Oidom Lois Palo Rosh Hashanah Ela Sheva. The Tzibor only Davin 7. Vrashu Agoin, Benoi, Kach Oma Vizkia Oid Goinim. In other words, the Goinim all say, the Minig and Klai Yisrael for the Tzibor to Davin 7 Brochas. Aval Hu Kasav, Baritz Geyes, he's a Rishon, right? Va'anu kibalu mi chachamim gedoilim u'balei hoiroa va'an shei meiser shekiblu heim mi chachamim shelfneihem kegoi Rav Shmuel HaLevi shekiblu min Rav Chanoich. We're going to hear about Rav Chanoich in a little while. Uzkeinim shebador halachal ha-meiser she'em mispalen zayin ela teisha. And it brings a guy from the Gemara. He's a good, that's what's bashed with the Gemara too. And the Rabban, right, says they have a good taina. But the Goyim are made that this was the minig be yeshiva sheyachidim oimrim da da da. And we have to kabbal their eidos. Basically, he's bringing Masaira. V'yes lekabbal eidusim shagoyim kiyu b'rabban sabarai. Rabban sabarai b'rabban amorai. And then he says that he was looking, because the Gemara is not mashma like that. So he says he looked over the Gemara, and he says, "Nasati leave a David is kayim be masha amu Rabbi Sena called David shebez the nice and leave him a love l'soif ola biyadam." He has a way of learning the Gemara like this, and of course the Rosh is daichid and connected the Gemara, and at the end of the Maisa we daven noy. And actually, if you look here in the Ramban too, actually in the Ramban and Melchabes, he also repeats this too. In other words, there was a clear machloikas between the Ramban, who held that the minik from the Ga'onim, from the Saborayim, to the Borayim, right, was in fact Balachash, 7, and Bekal, 9. But that was not the mashmos of the Sukkos HaGemara. And the Rishonim came along, and from Rab Chanoich, Chachamim Gedolim, and spoke about Balei Hora. Who are the Balei Hora? Right? Balei Hora. In fact, actually, that the Tzibur, that's the Tzibur, even individuals too, Davanai. Okay, now, who is this Rab Chanoich who dares to argue on the Messiah of the Gaonim? And it's much with the Rosh too, that's the Mashmos of the Stimas HaShas. So, what I would like to do is, I would like to quote to you from the Sefer HaKabbalah of the Ravid. Now, this is not the Ravid of Agus on the Rambam. This is another Ravid who lived around the middle of the 12th century. And he wrote a famous Sefer called Sefer HaKabbalah, in which he gives up as a like a Shira Goyin's letter. He gives up as a history of, you know, of Klal Yisrael. He goes through all the Goyinim. In the fourth and final chapter, he tells over a story, right? It's called The Four Captives, the Abba Shvuyim. This is a story that's occupied many people, the Deres HaRishonim, at the end of Chelek Vav, the Krah Chelek Vav as a whole, obviously revisionist understanding of this. But let me read for you over this interesting Maisa from the Ravid, okay? So he says, the Ravid is speaking about that the yeshivas in Bavel are basically they're sinking. They're going down in preeminence. They've reached their twilight zone. It's the really the top of Hai Goin, who's the son, by the way, of Yoshua Goin. So he says, basically the yeshivas are running out of money. You know? Same thing, they should give us hope. Actually, those of you who have yeshivas may not hear this. In other words, different countries used to send money to support the yeshivas in Bavel. And then he says, it was a maisa that one of from Islam, sent this person, Rachban Al-Natso, with a fleet of ships, and they captured off the shores of El Yisrael, a ship with 4 Chachamim Gedolim. It's mashmor that they were going lachnosas kala hayuholchem. I don't think Hadassah's Kala meant, you know what I mean? They were coming to raise money for the yeshivas. Because that's how it begins. They were going to Chutz Laaretz to raise money for... They're Chutz Laaretz, they were going from Bavel to raise money for the yeshivas. And what happened is, they captured them, and one of them was a Chushiel Aviv Shalom Ben Hananel, and one of them was a Baisha Avul Shirab Chanoich, etc., etc. Now, he goes and tells over his own, though the fourth one is. Now, what's interesting is he goes on and tells the story of like this, of Rav Moshe. Interesting, Rav Moshe's wife was about, she was afraid that they were going to do something to her, so she actually jumped off the ship and committed suicide, which is very interesting, because it's a parallel to this, to the Gemara in Gittin and Zayin Amud Beis, that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, also the Gemara speaks about a suicide. But what's interesting is, he's going through the different chachamim, what happened, they all ended up in different places. Uva shlish lekartava, which is Cordova in Spain. Uma chasham Rav Moshe Rav Chanoich shepadu anshe Cordova. They bought him from Islam, right? Godum yishayu sham, right? They thought it was an Amoritz. They didn't think anything. They didn't think it was anything special. This is a Moshe Rav Chanoich. That was his son. V'ayzer beKordova, based Knesses, Shishma Knesses Hamedrash. It was called Knesses Hamedrash. Interesting. V'ayisham Dayan, Shishma Rav Nosson Chanoson. There was a Dayan called Rav Nosson. V'chotzer v'gadol hayah. and he was a chashiv, a person, aval lo yanchis far bekin b'divrei Rabbi Yisrael. They didn't know that there was one bekin b'divrei Rabbi Yisrael, which makes sense, because now the Bible, they weren't baki. They would have had gemaras in front, they would have been baki. I claim that they weren't so baki. So Raya did the gemara, now this maisa, derech agav, is at the very end of the 10th century. It's 900 and something. Actually, I have a whole scholarly article. Those of you, the Proceedings of the Academy of Jewish Studies, has a whole article by someone on this. But half of it is apikosis, half of it is not so bad. But in any case, the Maisa obviously takes place around the end of the 10th century. They would take up as a shtigl chazal, actually a braisa, and they would try to explain it. Now, upish am notzim al kol hazor tevila. He besaches Yuma of Luyan Farish. They brought a tesefta in Yuma. It's actually in Perakil in Yuma, and it says al kol hazor tevila. Whenever hazor of the Kohen Gadol, there was a tevila, and they thought that it meant every time he's mazed the dam, he has to be tevil. As you should look at Megillah Daf Chaf, a Tosfos there, there's a rivat. V'Ramayshu Yoshev L'Pei Achaz, K'mo Shemesh, V'Kam El Rab Nosson, K'mo Shemesh. Ramayshu is sitting there, he's listening to this whole discussion. Now Ramayshu is coming from Bavel, he knows Shas. He knows Pshat in this Tosefta. V'Omloi says to him, Pashalot Tevilois. If you say that every time the Kayin sprinkled blood, he went to the Mikvah, you have more than five Tevilos in Yom Kippur, that can't be. And the Epis gave him a whole beer to it. U'Kishishama Uva Tamidah is Devarav. And when I heard Rav Moshe shot in this Tosefta, Tavul Zel Zev, Shalom Medel of Lefarish Lehem Halacha, Pirush, and he explained it to them properly. Kol Echad Ve'echad Shalom Imenu, Kol Sveikas, they asked him all the Sveikas, Shalom Lehem, and they made him have, basically the Bein Rosh Yeshiva. And this Rabbi Nosson became Ephesus Talmud. Which is very interesting. What is this Maisa literally? They asked him Kol Sveikas. The Maisa is very, very similar to the mice of Hillel and Samach Vav Pesachim, that he came along, but he didn't know whether to shef to call him Pesach and Pesach on the Shabbos, and Hillel came and gave a Gzeira Shava, and Derech Agav, the Tosefta says in Sanhedrin that Hillel brought seven midas with him from Bavel to El Yisrael. It says Mashma, there's a whole big change in paradigm here. In Chutz La'aretz, for the first time, people understand Chazals. And this Rav Nosson was a big person. He was a Dayan. Dayan is not Pshat HaTosefta. Anyway, I guess those of all the good Dayan there. Now, and then he goes on, etc., etc., they mechabed him, etc., etc. Now, so what's interesting is that there's this whole mice, and he comes from Bavel, and basically becomes like the Gadol HaDor there. And they make him a yeshiva. And by the Derech Agav, v'chol ha'shelo sheyu shaylim b'nei yeshivas b'nei shalom. And it says the king is very happy. The sultan's happy. They're asking him and not in Bavel. Okay? And then he says he got married. And then Chanoch, his son, got married. And then he married his daughter to somebody. And this person, he had the son Yosef Rab Yitzchak. He translated the Talmud into Arabic for the Sultan al-Hakam. But then, of course, there was a machlokes between Rav Chanoch and the Edom, etc., etc. Now, what's going on here? What is the Raita telling me? The whole mice is darshani. What? You have a whole history of Klal Yisrael, and you spend a whole parak on this mice. It goes on and on and on about this mice. Obviously, I mean, who's interested in these four captives, go this and that and everything? First of all, what's interesting is that there's a parallelism with Hillel HaZaken that comes to Yerushalayim, brings midas with him, drashes, gzeira shava. What do you mean he translated the Gemara into Arabic? Where were the Gemaras?
first art scroll.
The most, all of a sudden, it's Gemara. Before that, no one knew the Pshat in any of these places. Then all of a sudden, there's an article in Arabic. And what's interesting is, he says funny things. Right? He saw Machamelech, Aladava, Simcha Gedoyla, Kishishama, Shen Yehudim, Shemalko Tzrikha, La'anshi Bavel. The king is happy, I need Anshi Bavel. Who's Samach HaMelech? Kiviyachal was Dashon, who's the Melech? And then he goes on, et cetera, and it was all Machleit. Okay, now, I claim, now, this, who's this Reb Chanoich? This Reb Chanoich is the same Reb Chanoich that the Rosh quotes, who's doing battle with the tradition of the Gaonim.
Wait, this is Reb Moshe.
What? No, no, Reb Moshe, but then his son is Reb Chanoich. His son is Reb Chanoich. He becomes the after that. And this same Reb Chanoich is the guy who's, what he's doing is, he's doing battle with the Gaonim. In other words, there's a revolution against the Gaonim. And by the way, the whole thing ends by saying that the yeshivas in Bavel lost their money. Right? Etc., etc. What I want to say is the following thing. What I want to say is, the exact details of the story, right? Okay. Anyway, what I want to say is the following thing. I claim that the story of the four captives is the key to what we're asking. What I claim is the following. What I claim is that the Moshe left Bavel, and clearly it says the king was happy. The Gaonet in Bavel, the Shtei Yeshivas, had a monopoly of everything. It was a monopoly. And we spoke about that. The Rambam, the Teresh B'al Peh, is oral. Why is it oral? Why is it oral? It's oral is because there's a very... In other words, first of all, it's oral because like one Bezdin can overturn the Drush of a previous Bezdin. And secondly, because the orality of Teresh B'al allows it to be promulgated among a select group of Talmidei Chachamim. Once you write down, and the Rambam speaks about this in the Maran Avuchim, Perek Ayin Aleph, that once you write things down, everybody's the Rashi Kabbalah. They can't be authority. Let's take the flip side. How do you break authority? You break authority by going somewhere else and writing things down. In other words, what I want to claim is, it's mashma. Now, this is not Chassid Shalom to say this was the intention for the four captives, but what we see clearly in the story is the authority of Bavel was broken. The authority of Bavel was broken. And I claim that part and parcel of the breaking of the authority of Bavel was the writing down of the Talmud. And that's, in fact, actually... Well, what are you now? How do I know he wrote down the Talmud? I can't see right in the Talmud, but I would say, Pashtos, no one knew how to understand any of these braces. It must have been there was no Talmud.
The Gemara explains what Hakol Zal means.
What?
The Gemara doesn't tell Hakol Zal.
No, the Gemara doesn't bring this something. But they're right. But in addition, the Mishnah too, after that it says the present pierced the Talmud. What?
Not only put it down, and he translated into Arabic.
No, someone else, his brother-in-law, the Shmugger. But I'm saying, no, but what's the point? The point is, what do we see? We see now, if they're publishing the Talmud in Arabic, it must be that now it's an open book. It's being circulated. Everybody's got a Talmud. That's what they're putting in Arabic. In other words, what happens is the oral transmission, the oral culture, which is from Bavel, has been broken. Now, Lemaise, where did he end up? He ended up in Spain. Rabbeisai, where's Spain? The Rishonim, the Balamor. This is Spain, right? Balamor. who leads the crusade against the Gaonim many times in Shas. That's in the Rosh Tehillim, Lamed Gimel. What I want to say is that I want to claim that the Gemara was first written down as a sefer that anyone can have in the beginning of the 11th century, the end of the 10th century, and that begins the Tekufa of the Rishonim. And then it becomes a text. Then it becomes a text. And whoever can bring the best Chayim from Shas wins. And the Musar of the Gaonim is no longer as, you know, binding or of such authority. That's clearly what he says. What's Hayrah? Bale Hayrah v'anshi mais shekiblu mechachamim b'lefneihem Rab Shmuel Alevi shekiblu ben Arav Chanoich uskenim shebedo halacha l'maisa. But that begins the authority of the extra Gaonic authority that comes about that. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, Derech Agav, is that even in the Rambam, in the Sagdama, to the Mishnah Torah, says that the Jews were exiled to Iyim HaRechaikim, as the Rambam says. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rambam, and he says, I wouldn't be surprised, and therefore we can't be Mekabel, therefore the Epikel of the Shas, we can't be Kabel, the Gaonim in any places. There was obviously they were Vizgal to Yilma Rechaikim, and therefore Klai Yisrael didn't come to learn in yeshivas, balofa, the Lashon Rambam. I wouldn't be surprised that Rambam was referring to the same Maisa. Namely that what? There was a destruction of the two yeshivas, they were Gala to Yilma Rechaikim, and then the text of the Talmud became the authority. Look at Paul Gin Dibur there in the Rambam, but that's the pshat. So, it comes out, Shura Tachtoina is that this rebellion against the authority of the Gaonim, which came only when the Torah was brought to Spain, to Western Europe, coincides at the same time with the emergence and the availability of the text of the Talmud, and that becomes a new authority. And hence, decisions made by the Gaonim, based upon Kabbalah, are now subject to the textual scrutiny of the Stam of the Shas. Very interesting.
And then it went from, and then from Spain, that's where it went to everywhere else?
That's where it is, yeah, from Spain, after that, it went everywhere else, Actually, there were four captives. Could possibly be that these four captives, each one spread to somewhere else. The Abba can't face the Olets.
Because Rosh also ended up in Spain.
Anyway, in any case, now, so what do we have? What I want to claim is, now it's very interesting, the Lashon here, of the, I want to just quote from Lashon the Milchemes. I brought with me the...
Where?
Everything's in the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. And the Milchemes here says, he says, "V'ashim nagul is parallel teisha mishen ubaki koyim besidur naksuv." This is the Rosh. This is the last Milchemes in Rosh Hashanah. And he says, "Hech nishtabshu hashibush hagadol hazeh baskamas kulam." How could it be that there was a shibush that now we're not davening the right tefillas? V'agoyim harishonim shekiblu berabbanan tzoberei debesof hayrah. Interesting. The lashon is. Rabbanan Tzoberei Asof Hayrah. That's a right to what I've been saying for the last, now 18 lectures. Lamon Higu Kach. In other words, how can we go in like this? V'hechem sh'shlo nishah b'shtei yeshiva sida echad misturei bali ha-talmud v'achroinim. U'v'em ish'akom v'fat b'madav ha-zeh b'vatr sh'oshem ha-kabbalah sh'zeh minig m'kuba l'buzka b'poshra b'chol Yisrael. V'lo ira adu m'dav b'oylam. Ukavari sikh mufush bagmosh api me rabbi seno, chok be a talmud keno. Lamata should call him a foolish a parish by the Vrahams or Shinim, Kaparish Bihayim. He said, I also showed you could learn the Gemara too. Like that. Meaning that it wasn't enough to invoke authority. The Rabban said, I had to show you could learn Pshat the Gemara like that too, even though the Rosh Hashanah said that's a very little Pshat to learn. But in any case, right? The fact is that in these times there was a clear conflict between Mesoides that came from the Goyim, like we spoke of before that, you know, and between those people who paskin l'chayre pashtus based upon what they understood to be the stam of the Gemara, the text of the Gemara. In other words, so these traditions came into conflict in other words, these beginning years, you know, the time of the early Rishayna. And the fact is that, but how did this tradition, in other words, if this was a tradition from the Goyim, how did it begin? It clearly began from this Rab Chanoich. Who kibel mi chacham gedayle, but what chacham gedayle be the Rosh, the answer chacham gedayle means they know how to learn Shas. They learn the Gemara. So, let's go back over again and see very clearly. My contention is the emergence of the textual culture, where the Talmud as a text becomes the authority of Halacha Judaism, coincides with the break, in that case, the geographical, as well as the political break, with the two Masiftas in Bavel. And of course, the Torah had to move on to Europe, to Spain, to France, etc., to North Africa. Right? It couldn't stay in Bavel, because the Bavel, the Goyim still had power, still had Masoreh. And that, here we can locate when was the Gemara now available to people as a manuscript, as a text. Which means, I would claim that because of this, the first full manuscript of the Talmud is actually probably from the 11th century. V'chein ha-davar. We do not have a full manuscript of the Talmud from before the 11th century. Now, it's interesting. For the 11th century, we have halachas pesukos. We have halachas pesukos of Yehuda Goyim. That's already from the 8th century. We have the Sheiltas. We have the Bahag. What happened was the following thing. What happened was the writing of Torah, which comes out very good in the Gemaras. The final Gemaras, according to Isaac Stein, Ezer of the first Sarasecha, means writing halachas, or writing the Ikrasa, writing Sefer HaGadot. That's true, that's the time of the Goyim. Like Isaac Stein says, that's true because someone's answering Mabar Ravashi. So in other words, the 100 years after, 100, 200 years, 300 years after Rav Ashi, there was a heter just to write halachas psukos. That was the heter. I got it too, but there's a pinyul shabbos, but the burden got it, whatever it is, but the heter was only to write kits of things. Why kits of things? Because that was to the hamainam. You don't want the hamainam, you know, going through the text and usurping the power of the gedolim. So what happens is that in the centuries immediately after, I mean, the centuries after Rav Ashi, from the 8th century, the 9th century, what do we have? Halachas Pesukos, Bahag, Shiltas, and Chumas of the Goyim. That's all we have. There's no Talmud. And that was the heter to write down. And probably these people, these Amaratzim here in Cordova, they probably just got these Halachas Pesukos. Maybe got a Tosefta, whatever it is. Call a Pesach for the Mishnah in Elam of Aliyayla. What happened is that later on, in the 10th century, there was a break with the Goyim. There was a clear break with the Goyim. Bashkacha, there was a break with the Goyim. I don't see there was a Bachlekes Kasha, but there was a break with the Goyim. And the Gemara now was written down as a text. The Gemara was written down as a text. And now you have to call the Rishayim. And the Goyim, even though they're in authority, they're nonetheless, I mean, one has to be Yashiv. What the Goyim say in the Rekha, with respect to what's written in the text of the Talmud.
The Gaonim were the Isis write it down.
So now what was the Heter?
This was coming from the Gaonim, you're saying.
What is it?
The Isis write it down.
The Gaonim give a Heter to write the Halachas Pesukos.
Only because so that they could retain the authority.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was
not malicious, but whatever. The Maya says what it turned out.
Because the Rambam says that it wasn't good. That it should be, but at one point now, Maya said, what was the heter to write down the whole Talmud? So there's an easy answer. There's actually two answers. There's an obvious answer is that once there's a geographical break, in other words, yeshivas are going downhill, and there's an oral tradition that, you know, the old tradition which was maintained in the traditional location, now people find themselves be'iyam ha-rechoikim, like the Rambam says. So you can say the chadami. In other words, the world becomes cut off. Like the Rambam says by Rabbi the Mishnah, we need it, in other words, it was important that things be written down. But once again, why can't everybody walk around France and Europe with their halachas pesukos, the bahag? Well, let me finish. In other words, you could say, maybe they did it, right? But it could possibly be the following thing. It could possibly be, is that, like this. In other words, the Goyim issued halachas pesukos, but for sure, they knew be'al peh the Talmud. I think in one of the Sfarim, it says that the Chodesh Goyim dictated a person the entire Talmud. Whatever. They knew be'al peh. What happens is that once already the Messiah Bi'al Peh is broken, or those were in different places, so because of that, it's necessary to write it down. In other words, because ultimately the halachas pesukos bahag are coming from the Gemara. But that, but what's it like to say for? It could be that also maybe Rav Moshe could have taught Rav Chanoich the Gemara, you know. I want to say, it could be like this. The fact is that, but that's one answer. In other words, breaking with the centers.
There's no heter there. You're just saying it's mitzias.
It's a mitzias. But no. The heter would be like eslasos shem versus etc.
But a new kind of eslasos.
But right, new time of eslasos. In other words, I want to say maybe even more than that. What was the thing like this? The one could argue is that the Goyim clearly understood. In other words, the Issa, by the way, it's interesting. Issa, in other words, the important thing was, is that the Lachas Pesukos became what's called a Hanhaga. In other words, once we're in different places in the world, right? How can I argue with you? Like the Gemara says in Yevamos, in Dafayin Vavayin, the Gemara says in Zayin, right? Right? Im din yesh lahashiv. Im kabbalahu. Right? So, like this. It's clear that there's not a clear chain of Masayva. Number two is, how do we argue? In other words, previously, everybody's in one place, in the two yeshivas. In two yeshivas, everybody's in one place. But now, when people are in France, when people are in Spain, right? There's no central authority. So what's the matter? What's the masamata? We're not in one room. In other words, the whole din of Basaroy, the whole Dumitus and Edger, is all Chamer in one. That the Baruch Chai says, it's all the Chamer and Edger are in one room. But when Klai Yisrael is scattered and there's no central authority, so there's no definition of Sanhedrin anymore. There's no hierarchy of authority. So how do I speak to you in learning? The only way to speak to you in learning is to write to you. How do I write to you? I have a text and I argue with you. In other words, Messiah is fine so long as there's a central authority. But once there isn't a central authority, people in different places in the world, there's a breakdown of a central authority, right? Then the culture has to, we have to create a new Sanhedrin. What's a new Sanhedrin? The text of the Gemara. That becomes the new Sanhedrin.
It's the same thing as the word I'm saying.
Okay, fine, but I think this makes more sense. In other words, the text of the Gemara becomes a new Sanhedrin. And this is the Hashgacha. That in fact, as, in other words, and I think L'chaira, this is probably the Pashas of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't distinguish between the writing and the chibur. What happens is that we're in different locations, in different places, in different times. Then what becomes now the Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael, the text of the Gemara. And that's it. And that's the way it, that's the way it begins. So in other words, so what now? Lamaisa, so why can I argue with you? For a very good reason. Because L'chayla, a Bezdin, one Sanhedrin, could argue on a previous Sanhedrin. The Rambam doesn't pay until his mamrim. In other words, a Sanhedrin that makes a drasha, a succeeding Bezdin, even though it's not good L'chayla B'din, can argue on you. So in other words, I could take the text of the Gemara and argue with you. Even though I'm not bigger than you, or maybe I'm Yitzchak Chassidus Talmud, but I could invoke the Gemara to argue on you. So what happens is, the Gemara becomes a new Sanhedrin, L'chayla Yisrael. That's it, that's the Sanhedrin. That's the Sanhedrin called Yisrael. So what we're seeing is that orality is very, very much a function of geography. Orality, right. Once geographic changes, then we need now a change for orality. And that has to be the text of the Gemara. Eis l'aseto b'fer asecha is much more limited. This is actually the chatzit changes by definition. We replace once, it's a new paradigm. We replace one Sanhedrin with another Sanhedrin. And that becomes the new Sanhedrin text of the Gemara. So the fact is that I want to claim that even if we do have adias, that, you know, things that we see little parts of Gemara written down in Bruges before that, but the emergence of the Talmud as a Sanhedrin, as a text, in my humble opinion, is only in the 10th century. Now, I want to get back to the Sefer Kabbalah. I want to claim that that's what the Ravid is trying to do here with this story. What does he bring the story for? What's the purpose of the story? Tell me the story of Nisim, this and that. Tell how the Shivas went bankrupt. Who cares how the Shivas went bankrupt? They went bankrupt. They lost money. I want to claim what the Ravid is doing with the story. Of course, he's not going to say it explicitly. He's being meramez. I think with the story, I'll tell everybody he's a remez, is that this upheaval, it's meramez, this upheaval. In other words, this upheaval is very, very much similar to the upheaval when Hillel came to Yerushalayim and brought with him what? He brought with him the seven middos, which means now the Shach of Italia, there's middos. They argue with him. In other words, there's a change in paradigm. And what's happening is that the story they committed suicide. I'm not saying Chas v'Shalom didn't happen. But the Nusach is very, very much a Nusach of Chorban Bayis Sheni, a new paradigm. What the Ravid is, and Dr. Shana, by the way, missed the whole thing. Because she doesn't. But in other words, the whole point of the Ravid is to explain to me, right, the creation of a new paradigm. But you see, you don't say there's a new paradigm. You don't write like that. No one's going to listen to you, believe you. You'll be careless. But it's big about they're raising money for the yeshivas, but the intelligent reader understands that the Ravid, especially that he translated the Talmud into Arabic. I hope that's the biggest Ravid. Who cares about translating the Talmud into Arabic? Except Don Minei Uruk Ba'asle, that there must have been a text of the Gemara that was established at that time. In other words, it's clearly that the purpose of the Ravid was in fact to communicate that the break between the Ga'inim and the Rishayim emerges with the text of the Gemara, and this story is basically the paradigm, the literary, I mean, of course, no, it's true, but it's the literary device by which the Ravid, with all his, you know, his allusions and this and that, is wants to communicate to his intelligent reader. It was not only the Moed Nevuchim that was interested in intelligent reader, also the Ravid was too. The scholars basically botch it. Is it this Aladdin or that Ruchama and this and that? That's not the point. The point is, what is the paradigm, the change in the upheaval that's going on in the Tehbi Alpeh? Who cares? By the way, it says seven meyos merkavos. That's a raya for the Gemara Chavtes in Brachos, 700 benches or 400 benches. In other words, actually, if you want, I could give a whole series of shiurim, and on every word of this raya, this ramazin, to every change of paradigm, whether it's Hillel and some involved in Psochem, whether it's Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in Chavtes and Brachos, whether it's here, whether it's there, even the Mishnah, which speaks about there's a new tevila. What's a new tevila means? That, you know what, it's not chas v'shalom, you're not being matar or something, which was tameh, but rather what you're just doing is that every one time you blood, yet you know every generation don't have a dasha. That's the whole point of the Tosefta. And not to mention the fact that the Shita of Tosfos, the Riva, is that they learn from the Gemara, in fact, that the Pshat, because the Rashi actually learns like Abnosin in the Mishnah. But the Tosfos is right from the Ushalmi, but in fact, actually, the Pshat is Tevila. So in other words, in every part of this Raivid, there is all different types of allusions to this major thing that happens. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm sure that everybody will have a lot of comments on today's Shia, and I was going to actually go into Deresh Rishonim, but I looked through it. I don't even think it's worthy of even discussion on the internet. But his pshat in the four captives is I don't know how a person could possibly even conjure up such a pshat, that they weren't coming from Balville, they were coming from somewhere else. It's completely connected to the text of the Raivin. But Lemaitse is very good, because what he's trying to accomplish there is a raya to what the Raivin really wants to say, which is the major thing. But those of you who are interested in this, you can look at it's about the last chapter in the Deres Rishonim, the Abba Shvuyim, which there he wants to, in fact, actually say that there really was a Masevet. There were two Masevets, one in Italy, one in Bavel, et cetera, et cetera. All right, Shalom Yisrael, everyone kifidalkoi. In any case, that's it. Okay, we will conclude the Shia now, and we have really come a long way. We've come from the Sabarayim, from the of Ashi, Sabarayim, through the Gaonim, and on to the Rishonim. So, the redaction of the Talmud was something that took place over 700 years, 600 years. By the way, Derech Agav is a Rashi in Beitza, in Tafei, that's Mashmah to Hasina was a few months too.
2 months?
Hasina was a few months, yeah, they ran out of Zumat.
Which page?
I think Davav, Tafei Davav. It's Mashmah to Rashi, there's Mashmah to Hasina was a few months. So if you take a day or two and multiple 3 days to Hasholom and Bala, and maybe we can even get actually a proportion, but in other words, the fact is that the Chasimus HaTalmud, what's called Chasimus HaTalmud, is not that I took a stempel and signed it, but it was actually an incredible process that took place between the time of Ravina Rav Ashi, which is the beginning of the early part of the 5th century, until, in my humble opinion, until the very end of the 10th century. We're speaking about a 500-600 year process, which is an incredible, incredible thing. And this is something which actually should give us a lot of amunah, that in fact something like this, you know, took place over a long period of time, through Shema, this and that, and the Jewish people preserved the Messiah for so long. And this is something which Yibishamu will discuss in the next year. Until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, Kol Tuv, Hatzlacha Rabbah.